Have you ever wondered why a 2,500-year-old military text remains required reading at business schools and military academies worldwide? The Art of War by Sun Tzu continues to captivate modern readers because its principles transcend the battlefield, offering insights applicable to business strategy, personal conflicts, and leadership challenges. This ancient Chinese treatise, written between 400 to 200 BCE, has influenced military leaders from Napoleon to Norman Schwarzkopf and business titans like Jack Ma and Bill Belichick. Even Tony Soprano quoted it in HBO's hit series. Beyond its practical applications, the text has inspired countless artistic interpretations across centuries, revealing how humanity's relationship with conflict has evolved from glorification to criticism. At the heart of Sun Tzu's philosophy lies a revolutionary concept. The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. To win 100 victories in 100 battles is not the acme of skill, he writes. To subdue the enemy without fighting is the acme of skill. This perspective stands in stark contrast to the glorification of combat common in his era. Sun Tzu understood that warfare's true objective isn't destruction, but achieving strategic goals with minimal resources. Consider how this applies today. When Apple launched the iPhone, they didn't directly attack Nokia's market share through price wars. Instead, they created an entirely new category of device that made traditional phones obsolete. This exemplifies Sun Tzu's principle of winning without fighting, changing the battlefield rather than engaging on unfavorable terms. The text emphasizes preparation and intelligence gathering. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. This isn't just about collecting information, but understanding deeper patterns and motivations. Netflix's decision to create original content wasn't merely reactive to competitors, but stemmed from analyzing viewer data and recognizing changing consumption patterns years before traditional studios. Sun Tzu also stresses adaptability. Water shapes its course according to the nature of the ground over which it flows. This fluid approach to strategy means avoiding rigid doctrines and instead responding to changing circumstances. When the COVID-19 pandemic struck, companies that quickly pivoted to remote work and digital services survived, while those clinging to traditional models struggled, a perfect illustration of this principle in action. Perhaps most importantly, Sun Tzu recognized that leadership determines outcomes. The general who wins a battle makes many calculations in his temple before the battle is fought. Effective leaders create conditions for success through thorough planning, proper resource allocation, and clear communication, principles as relevant in corporate boardrooms as on ancient battlefields. All warfare is based on deception, Sun Tzu declares in one of his most quoted passages. This principle extends far beyond simple trickery. It encompasses creating false impressions, manipulating perceptions, and controlling information flows to achieve strategic advantage. Consider how this manifests in modern contexts. During the Cold War, the United States exaggerated its missile capabilities to deceive Soviet intelligence, influencing resource allocation and strategic decisions. In business, companies regularly use strategic ambiguity about product launches to keep competitors guessing and maintain market advantage. Sun Tzu elaborates, "When capable, feign incapacity. When active, inactivity." This contra-intuitive approach creates confusion and leads opponents to make errors. Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope strategy against George Foreman perfectly exemplifies this, appearing weak and defensive to exhaust his opponent before launching a devastating counterattack. Psychological warfare features prominently in Sun Tzu's teachings. Supreme excellence consists in breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting. This involves undermining an opponent's will rather than their physical capacity. During World War II, Allied forces dropped leaflets over German positions highlighting their deteriorating situation and offering safe surrender terms, a direct application of psychological pressure to reduce enemy resistance. The text also emphasizes the importance of creating the perception of overwhelming force. Appear at points which the enemy must hasten to defend. March swiftly to places where you are not expected. This principle of concentration and surprise remains fundamental to modern military doctrine and business strategy alike. When Walmart decides to enter a new market segment, they often deploy massive resources quickly, creating an impression of inevitability that discourages competitor resistance. Perhaps most subtly, Sun Tzu understood that controlling an opponent's options is more effective than direct confrontation. The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. By positioning strategically and controlling access to resources, one can make an opponent's defeat inevitable without direct engagement, a principle evident in modern economic sanctions that achieve political objectives without military action. Know the ground, know the weather. Your victory will then be total. Sun Tzu recognized that environmental factors often determine outcomes more decisively than raw military power. This insight extends beyond physical battlefields to any competitive landscape, from business markets to political arenas, where understanding the environment can provide decisive advantages. Sun Tzu meticulously categorizes terrain into six distinct types: accessible ground, open and easily traversed; entangling ground, difficult to return from; temporizing ground, where either side gains advantage; narrow passes, confined spaces requiring first occupation; precipitous heights, offering tactical advantage; and positions far from the enemy, requiring careful resource management. Each terrain type demands unique tactical approaches and strategic considerations. In modern business contexts, these terrains manifest in various forms. Emerging markets represent accessible ground with few established competitors. Mature industries with high regulatory barriers resemble narrow passes. And disruptive technologies often create temporizing ground where traditional advantages may suddenly shift. Consider how digital pioneers have approached terrain differently than traditional competitors. Amazon's strategy exemplifies this principle. Rather than competing on the established ground of physical retail stores, they created an entirely new digital terrain where their logistics expertise, customer data, and technological infrastructure provided overwhelming advantages. Similarly, Tesla chose to bypass traditional auto dealer networks, creating direct-to-consumer channels that transform the car buying landscape. These examples perfectly illustrate Sun Tzu's advice to avoid what is strong and strike at what is weak. Weather, representing timing and changing conditions, receives equal emphasis in Sun Tzu's analysis. He who knows when he can fight and when he cannot will be victorious. This principle manifests clearly in modern contexts. Successful investors like Warren Buffett embody this wisdom by understanding market cycles and adjusting strategies accordingly, famously becoming fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. Similarly, Apple's timing of product launches considers seasonal buying patterns and competitive product cycles, demonstrating mastery of market weather. The text deeply explores how environmental factors affect morale and performance. When the soldiers stand leaning on their spears, they are faint from want of food. Physical conditions directly impact performance, from workplace ergonomics to company culture. Modern organizations like Google and Microsoft invest heavily in workplace environments, understanding that employee well-being directly affects productivity and innovation. Companies that neglect these environmental factors face the same deterioration in performance that Sun Tzu observed in poorly supplied troops. Perhaps most profoundly, Sun Tzu recognized that environmental advantages are relative, not absolute. If you know the enemy and know yourself, your victory will not stand in doubt. This principle is evident in numerous modern success stories. Google's dominance in search stems not from absolute technological superiority, but from better understanding how users interact with information compared to competitors. Netflix's triumph over Blockbuster came not from superior content, but from better understanding how viewers wanted to consume entertainment. These examples demonstrate how relative advantages in specific environments, rather than absolute superiority, often determine success. In rapidly evolving markets, the ability to read and adapt to changing environmental conditions becomes increasingly crucial. Organizations must constantly assess both their internal capabilities and external conditions, adjusting their strategies to maintain alignment with environmental factors while seeking positions of relative advantage.
The general who advances without coveting fame and retreats without fearing disgrace is the jewel of the kingdom. Sun Tzu understood that effective leadership transcends ego and personal ambition. This insight challenges our modern celebrity CEO culture, suggesting that the best leaders focus on outcomes rather than personal glory. The text identifies five dangerous faults that may affect generals: recklessness, cowardice, hasty temper, delicacy of honor, and overconcern for the troops. Each creates vulnerability that opponents can exploit. Consider how Steve Jobs' famous temper occasionally led Apple into unnecessary conflicts, or how Kodak's leadership was too concerned with protecting their film business to embrace digital photography, modern examples of these ancient vulnerabilities. Sun Tzu emphasizes clear command structures. There must be no encroachment on the commands of the general. Conflicting directives create confusion and paralysis. When Microsoft under Steve Ballmer had competing divisions developing contradictory products and strategies, the company lost market position, a direct consequence of violating this principle. The text also addresses the delicate balance between micromanagement and delegation. When troops are disciplined, the general should not meddle in matters that he can entrust to others. Effective leaders establish systems and cultures that function without constant intervention. Warren Buffett's approach at Berkshire Hathaway exemplifies this, hiring excellent managers and giving them autonomy within clear parameters. Perhaps most progressively, Sun Tzu recognized the importance of shared purpose. Treat your men as you would your own beloved sons, and they will follow you into the deepest valley. This isn't mere sentimentality, but practical psychology. Organizations with strong shared purpose consistently outperform those motivated solely by financial incentives. When Howard Schultz returned to Starbucks as CEO in 2008, he focused on reconnecting employees with the company's mission, recognizing that engagement comes from meaningful work, not just compensation. Sun Tzu's approach to leadership remains revolutionary even today. Authority flows from competence and character, not position. Leaders earn respect through demonstrated wisdom and concern for those they lead, a timeless principle that distinguishes truly great organizations from merely successful ones.
The line between disorder and order lies in logistics. This simple statement reveals Sun Tzu's understanding that wars are won through superior resource management as much as battlefield tactics. History repeatedly confirms this insight, from Napoleon's disastrous Russian campaign undermined by supply failures, to the Allied victory in World War II enabled by production capacity and supply chain efficiency. Sun Tzu emphasizes the economic impact of prolonged conflict. There is no instance of a country having benefited from prolonged warfare. This recognition of war's economic burden was revolutionary in an era when warfare was often glorified without consideration of its costs. Modern military planners and business strategists alike recognize that extended conflicts drain resources and create vulnerabilities, regardless of tactical successes. The text provides specific guidance on resource allocation. The skillful soldier does not raise a second levy, neither are his supply wagons loaded more than twice. Efficient resource use prevents waste and maintains operational flexibility. Apple's supply chain management under Tim Cook exemplifies this principle, minimizing inventory, streamlining production, and maintaining cash reserves for strategic flexibility. Sun Tzu also addresses sustainability. A wise general makes a point of foraging on the enemy. One cartload of the enemy's provisions is equivalent to 20 of one's own. This isn't just about living off captured supplies, but about creating self-sustaining operations. Companies that develop circular business models, where waste becomes input for new products, apply this principle in modern contexts. Perhaps most insightfully, Sun Tzu recognized the relationship between resources and time. If you are careful of your men and camp on hard ground, the army will be free from disease and fit to fight. Short-term efficiency that undermines long-term capability creates false economy. When companies cut training and development budgets to meet quarterly targets, they often experience exactly the deterioration in capability that Sun Tzu warned against. The text also addresses the psychological dimension of resource management. Soldiers, when in desperate straits, lose the sense of fear. Both abundance and scarcity affect motivation and performance. Startups often outperform established competitors despite fewer resources because necessity drives innovation and commitment, precisely the dynamic Sun Tzu observed in armies facing existential threats. Know the enemy and know yourself. In 100 battles, you will never be in peril. This famous quote underscores Sun Tzu's emphasis on intelligence as the foundation of strategy. He recognized that accurate information provides decisive advantage, regardless of other factors. Sun Tzu identifies 5 types of spies: local, inside, converted, doomed, and surviving. This sophisticated classification system reveals his understanding of human psychology and organizational dynamics. Modern intelligence agencies and corporate competitive intelligence units still employ these same categories, though under different names. The text emphasizes the value of inside information. Of all those in the army close to the commander, none is more intimate than the secret agent. Organizations with superior internal intelligence identify problems and opportunities before competitors. When Reed Hastings recognized Netflix needed to transition from DVD rentals to streaming before this became obvious to shareholders or competitors, he demonstrated exactly this advantage. Sun Tzu warns against confirmation bias. The enemy spies who have come to spy on us must be sought out, tempted with bribes, led away, and comfortably housed. Thus, they will become converted spies and available for our service. This recognition that information sources can be compromised or misleading remains crucial today. When companies rely exclusively on customer feedback from existing users, they often miss emerging threats and opportunities, precisely the danger Sun Tzu identified. The text also addresses the relationship between information and timing. What enables the wise sovereign and the good general to strike and conquer and achieve things beyond the reach of ordinary men is foreknowledge. Advance information provides time to prepare and position resources optimally. Amazon's early investment in cloud computing before the market fully materialized exemplifies this principle. They recognized the trend early and positioned themselves advantageously. Perhaps most importantly, Sun Tzu understood that information must be actionable. Knowledge of the enemy's dispositions can only be obtained from other men. Raw data without human interpretation and context has limited value. When Target's analytics identified pregnant customers through purchasing patterns but failed to consider the social implications of revealing this information through targeted marketing, they demonstrated the danger of information without wisdom, a pitfall Sun Tzu would have recognized immediately. Water shapes its course according to the nature of the ground over which it flows. The soldier works out his victory in relation to the foe whom he is facing. This metaphor of water perfectly captures Sun Tzu's emphasis on adaptability. Fixed strategies inevitably fail when circumstances change, while fluid approaches maintain effectiveness across varying conditions. The text warns against rigid thinking.
Do not repeat the tactics which have gained you one victory, but let your methods be regulated by the infinite variety of circumstances. This rejection of formulaic approaches remains revolutionary even today. When Blockbuster clung to its retail store model despite changing technology and consumer preferences, it demonstrated exactly the fatal inflexibility Sun Tzu warned against. Sun Tzu emphasizes opportunistic adaptation. In battle, there are not more than two methods of attack, the direct and the indirect. Yet these two in combination give rise to an endless series of maneuvers. Simple principles can generate complex strategies when applied contextually. Amazon's business model exemplifies this. Maintaining consistent core principles about customer experience while continuously evolving specific tactics across vastly different markets. The text also addresses the psychological dimension of adaptation. The quality of decision is like the well-timed swoop of a falcon, which enables it to strike and destroy its victim. Effective adaptation requires not just recognizing the need for change, but implementing it decisively. When IBM transformed from a hardware company to a services and consulting organization under Lou Gerstner, the success came not just from the strategic shift, but from the decisive implementation that prevented half-measures and internal resistance. Perhaps most insightfully, Sun Tzu recognized that adaptation requires accurate self-assessment. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. Organizations that maintain honest internal feedback mechanisms adapt more effectively than those that suppress uncomfortable information. Toyota's production system, with its emphasis on identifying and addressing problems immediately, exemplifies this principle, creating organizational capacity for continuous adaptation rather than periodic crisis-driven change. The text also addresses the competitive advantage of adaptation itself. The wise leader exploits the use of intelligence to ascertain real situations and circumstances. In rapidly changing environments, the ability to adapt becomes more valuable than any specific capability. Companies like 3M that institutionalize innovation and adaptation often outperform more specialized competitors over time, precisely because they embody Sun Tzu's principle of fluid response to changing conditions. Sun Tzu's influence extends far beyond military affairs into business, politics, sports, and even personal development. This ancient text has achieved remarkable longevity because its principles address fundamental aspects of human conflict and cooperation that remain constant despite technological and social changes. In business, The Art of War has become standard reading for executives. Jack Welch, former CEO of General Electric, explicitly incorporated Sun Tzu's principles into his management approach, particularly the emphasis on accurate information and decisive action. Japanese corporations have long integrated these concepts into their strategic planning, recognizing the cultural resonance between Sun Tzu's Eastern philosophy and their own traditions. Political strategists from Henry Kissinger to Karl Rove have acknowledged Sun Tzu's influence on their thinking. The text's emphasis on indirect approaches and psychological warfare particularly shapes modern political campaigns, where perception management often proves more decisive than policy details. Barack Obama's 2008 campaign strategy, focusing on controlling the narrative rather than responding to attacks, demonstrated classic Sun Tzu principles. Sports coaches, particularly in football and basketball, regularly cite The Art of War. Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots coach, is known for his Sun Tzu-inspired approach to game planning, specifically adapting strategies to exploit each opponent's particular weaknesses rather than relying on a consistent system. Phil Jackson similarly incorporated these principles into his coaching philosophy with the Chicago Bulls and Los Angeles Lakers. Perhaps most interestingly, The Art of War has found application in fields Sun Tzu could never have imagined. Cybersecurity experts apply his principles to network defense, recognizing that the digital battlefield shares many characteristics with physical warfare. Negotiation specialists use his insights about psychological positioning to achieve better outcomes in complex discussions. Even relationship counselors have adapted his wisdom about conflict resolution to help couples navigate disagreements more effectively. This remarkable adaptation stems from Sun Tzu's focus on fundamental principles rather than specific techniques. By addressing the psychological, informational, and strategic dimensions of conflict rather than particular weapons or tactics, he created a framework that transcends its original context. The text's emphasis on achieving objectives while minimizing unnecessary destruction also aligns with modern ethical sensibilities, allowing contemporary readers to apply its wisdom without embracing the brutality of ancient warfare. The evolution of war art reveals humanity's changing relationship with conflict, tracking our transformation from celebrating martial glory to confronting war's brutal reality. Ancient depictions like the victory steel of Naram-Sin and the battle scenes of Ramesses II at Kadesh glorified rulers and emphasized divine favor in battle. These monumental works served sophisticated propaganda purposes, legitimizing leadership through military success while carefully omitting war's horrors. Egyptian temple walls and Assyrian palace reliefs showed kings as superhuman figures, towering over enemies and leading perfectly ordered armies in divinely sanctioned victories. Medieval and Renaissance art continued this tradition of leader centricity, positioning victorious generals as central figures, either fighting, observing, or accepting surrender. Illuminated manuscripts depicted idealized knights in shining armor, while grand history paintings showed commanders in heroic poses. Leonardo da Vinci's conception of the Battle of Anghiari, though meticulously researched through studies of horse anatomy and human movement, transcended mere documentation to create an idealized vision of combat. Similarly, Velázquez's Surrender at Breda presented war as a gentlemanly affair between noble adversaries. These works reflected a culture that viewed warfare as both a valid method of expansion and the ultimate test of leadership qualities. The 19th century brought profound changes to war representation. As photography began documenting war's reality in the Crimean War and American Civil War, artists increasingly focused on common soldiers rather than leaders. Francisco Goya's Disasters of War series marked a pivotal shift, unflinchingly depicting rape, torture, and execution rather than glory. This critical perspective gained momentum through World War I, when artists like Otto Dix and Paul Nash, returning traumatized from the front, portrayed not noble warriors, but the horrors of gas attacks, tanks, and trench warfare. Their works showed mutilated bodies, blasted landscapes, and the psychological devastation of industrial warfare. The 20th century completed this transformation in war art. Pablo Picasso's Guernica, created after the bombing of a Spanish town in 1937, stands as perhaps history's most famous anti-war painting. Its twisted figures, screaming horses, and nightmarish imagery present war as tragedy rather than triumph. This approach influenced later artists responding to conflicts in Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Modern war art predominantly serves as criticism or documentation, with glorification becoming culturally unacceptable after witnessing industrialized warfare's devastation. Contemporary artists like Jenny Holzer use technology and installation art to critique military power and memorialize casualties. This artistic evolution parallels broader cultural shifts in how we understand conflict. While Sun Tzu's strategic principles remain relevant, his era's acceptance of warfare as a normal state activity has given way to our modern view of war as representing humanity's worst aspects. Necessary sometimes, perhaps, but never glorious. The journey from Ramesses II's triumphant battle reliefs to Picasso's anguished Guernica reflects humanity's growing recognition of war's true costs. Today's war artists often focus on themes of memory, trauma, and reconciliation, while military museums increasingly emphasize education about war's impact rather than celebration of martial achievement. This shift in artistic representation mirrors society's evolution toward viewing war as a last resort rather than a path to glory.